That's his nickname. That's what most people know him by. And if that's uncommon for you, that's what he's known by. Yeah. I call him Brother Daniel, Brother Smith. But come on, brother. We appreciate him. Amen. Obey the Lord, brother. Love you.
Thank you. Thank God. I like promises, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. I like when folks keep their promises.
Amen.
Amen. You know that there's a lot of people that
maybe not so much in our generation, but in generations past, there's been land transactions made off of a word, a handshake, just an agreement made between two individuals that most people now, even the honest man's not brave enough to trust the other man because there's so many other variables that come into play. But I'm glad I took God at His word, take Christ at His word, that I really believe Him when He told me that. It wasn't something that I think, well, that's a pretty awesome promise, but I believe it. Amen. And you know, when you were young, that it may have been Brother Derek aggravating with the children, talking about how you can just aggravate children or joke with them. They'll just, anything you tell them, they'll just buy into it. And they just take you at your word as, well, if they're saying it, we believe it. Amen. Well, I'm just that way. I'm just a child in the eyes of my Savior. When He says it, I believe it. Amen. And I believe when He went away to prepare a place that He done just that, to prepare a place. And I do believe He's coming again. Amen. I'd like to encourage, if you're younger tonight, don't wait to get to know Him as you grow older. Get to know Him young. Amen. Follow Him a while. Only thing better than living for Him a year is 2 years. And the more you add to it, the better. Amen. And I do appreciate the Lord. My, just been enjoying His presence. And all that's been done for us, we're just having a great time. My children, Dean, they're on a revivalcation. They're on vacation. I'm in revival. Amen. And but we're just having a great time. Been a lot done for us already. And I'm enjoying it. I love church. This is an environment. If you love church, man, you can just feel right at home in times like this. And just enjoying the Lord. Appreciate everything been done by this church for us already. And if you miss this morning, you just missed an outstanding message. Amen. I told my brother, I believe I told him afterward, and I don't have any pride in saying it, I just apologized in that altar to the Lord. I said, Lord, forgive me. Amen. That what am I, if I got something that when they see me, do they want to partake in that I'm producing? Amen. I like for folks to look at me and think he's got to be a part of more of a conservative people. I don't have no problem with that. I don't mind looking different. I don't mind that when they say something out of the way that they think I'm odd because I walk away. Amen. But I'd like it to be when their time of need comes that they look at me like I looked at him. Amen. That's outstanding, man. I really, even it crossed my mind, I'd like for Brother Austin to get another one or two of these services. I love to preach as much as I don't mean I'm a good preacher, but I love to try. Amen. I love to try to preach. I do. I appreciate the calling of the Lord. But there's something else I love. I like to listen to preaching too. Amen. And I like good preaching, and that's what we heard. Outstanding this morning. And so good to have you back tonight. And our sister let me know earlier that she said, well, we're back tonight. And I don't know if that's because it was good or they thought, well, maybe we give him one more chance. I don't know. She'd give me the thumbs up. But thank God. God bless you. All been so kind to us. It's amazing to come this far from home. And we're just constantly carrying on conversations and crossing paths with people that you're affiliated with, that we are. And it's just, you know, God's family, it's just an amazing family, isn't it? Amen. He's preparing a place. And you know, every now and then we get happy when we get together. And you can do that over a good song, get 10 or 12 people, and they'll get beside themselves, and we'll have a great time in the Lord and just be blessed. But can you imagine a day, and that day is not far down the road, everybody there will be there on purpose. Amen. There won't be nobody there that took exit 6 when they was looking for 7. No, there won't be no mistakes in heaven. Amen. There'll be nobody there that slipped in and thought, well, I got to try to figure out how to get back out of here. The ones that be looking for the way out won't never find the way in. Amen. Everybody there going to want to be there. Amen. Can you imagine when not 10 people out of 100 is excited, or 50 out of 100, or 75 out of 100, but generation upon generation upon generation, amen, gathered in one city at one time. And him said, time will be no more, and just turn us loose in his presence forever. I've ran the aisle just feeling him brush my heart before. Can you imagine what I'll act like when I stand right in his presence? Amen, forever. What a place. I don't want to miss it, do you? Thank God, thank God. I've missed some things that I thought I would have liked, but I've lived long enough to get past it. Amen, but that's one thing I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss heaven. You know what? I don't want you to miss it. Amen. It's a place we're going to look forward, where we'll be going to be grateful that we went. I've read where they looked for a way and begged for a way out of hell. Amen. Wanted out, wanted relief from it. But I've never read where anybody asked for a refund on heaven. Amen. Never found where anybody did, and I'm thankful for it. Amen. They just folks crossing that path of life. It seemed like more and more here of late. I've lost two elders in the past couple of years to the virus in the church I pastor, and lost an uncle to that, and just a couple of weeks ago buried one of the pillars of my church. And so, you know, there's a number gathering over there, and it seems like sooner or later this scale's going to tip, and there's going to be more there than it seems like's here. And, you know, I stood over the greatest two people that I've ever known. What I said at their funeral, my grandparents, the two greatest people that I've ever known. And now tonight I've gotten news yesterday that some of you know the Carver family, Brother Silas Carver. Some of you ladies know Carver & Co. And anyway, Brother Silas Carver's daddy, he's just hanging in the balance, all just breaths from eternity. And just one of my heroes. He's been one of my heroes in my Christian life. And so what I'm getting at is this. These folks headed to that country. And I long to go there. Amen. I'll be 45 in September. Y'all have made me feel pretty decent this week, folks. Don't think I'm old enough to be some people in here's parents, and they think we may be close to the same age. Amen. But listen, I might be fixing to be 45. But I want to have the heart of one of these aged soldiers. I still want to be ready to go. Amen. I don't want to wait till I'm old to try to get it ready. I want to be ready tonight. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 7. 2 Kings chapter 7. Amen. Do you know if I preach bad, you can still be blessed? Amen. You come to get, he said, you have not because you ask not. That didn't have nothing to do with the preacher, did it? That was all to do with the one that was doing the asking. So if you know, it might make me feel good about preaching bad if you get to asking him and he gets to blessing you. But nevertheless, let's get in here tonight. If we don't get what we came for, let's don't let it be on our account. Amen. Let it be because we did try to push in and let the Lord help us and be blessed in this service tonight. Let's start reading in verse 1, chapter 7 of the book of 2 Kings. Amen. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. In other words, this would be a good time to listen. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Big mistake. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Amen. We'll make mention of some more verses of Scripture as we go. I'd like to preach tonight, dealing with those men. And if I had a title, this is what I'd like to title our message tonight. Are you going or not? Are you going or not? Now, we look at this and being the where we read from, if you just opened up your Bible and turned to chapter 7 randomly, ever done that? Just, you know, you can just find anything. You just flip the thing open and just go to reading, and it'll just pique your interest from time to time. But if you just opened up and read the few verses of Scripture that I read tonight, you'd have wondered, well, what's the reason behind what we're dealing with? Why am I reading what I'm reading? And so that's no different than if we look at the hour that we live in. You look back at prophecy. You look back at in the Scripture, things that we've heard that God have given people in our day. I'm not just talking about just prophecy written on pages in this Scripture. There have been times in our day where God would touch somebody and they would tell us things to come, prophesy of us things to come. But if you don't know why that the price of things are going to be different one day to another, if you don't understand the basis of what Elisha's saying here, you'd kind of be lost and thinking, well, what is that any different than any other day? You know, why would it excite a church to know that a revival's on the verge of breaking out? The only way that would be if there'd been a church begging and seeking and desiring of a revival that hadn't experienced one in a while. The promise of one coming would excite us. Amen. There's something about children. They don't really care a lot about January. There's a couple of months out of the year they love. Their birth month and his birth month. That's the only 2 months they really care about. Amen. And they don't really care it's his birthday. They just know that's their gift day. Amen. But children, you know, the closer it comes to that day, they become more and more excited at the thought, I'm fixing to get what I ask for. I've put it on a piece of paper. I've got it scribbled on the refrigerator. I've got it laid in places where Daddy and Mama can find it. And you know, I don't know. My children think I make more than I do. It looks like a lot of times. Their lists are mighty impressive. Amen. They have a lot of wants and a lot of desires. But it's saying that to say this. As a Christian, we got a pretty big wish list a lot of times, don't we? We desire a lot of things for God to do in our lives. We desire God to do a lot, but the good part about it is his income is what we expect it to be. He is able to do above and beyond all I could ever ask or think. And so looking at where we're at tonight, Elisha begins to give the prophecy that not today, but about this time tomorrow, this whole community is going to be different than it is today. Amen. There's some things that are going to happen between now and then that's going to change the whole landscape of where we're living. Amen. And I'd like to think in the hour that you and I live, I know a lot of churches, and as sad as it is to say, a lot of us Pentecostal holiness churches, we've done already batten down the hatches. We've done give up on the fight. We're just peeping out the window hoping he comes sooner or later. When he let us know it's in that hour that I'm going to pour out my spirit. It's in those days that I'm going to send revival. And so I say to us tonight, get out of our caves. Get out of our hiding places. He promised a revival. And so we need to be ready for that revival when it comes. But leading up to this, we know that, you know, when you're dealing with Syria, Elisha's dealt with them. Syria's one of those groups of people that they just don't ever go away. It felt like no matter what happens, we can't get rid of this group of people. And where we read tonight, just prior to there in chapter 6, you find that they've besieged Samaria. Amen. They don't ever understand when you mess with God's man and when you mess with God's people, it doesn't ever end good for you. Amen. And it's just moments before this, in just days maybe, I don't know the exact timeline, but it's where they're coming down the line. And it said in that verse 18 of that previous chapter, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. Amen. Well, hey, one thing you know, when Elisha asks for it, what's going to happen? God's going to honor his prayer, isn't he? God's going to do what Elisha's asking him to do. But after that, it said, so the hands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. But then we turn right around and find out that in that moment that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered his host, it said, and went up and besieged Samaria. Amen. That word besieged, in one place I look, just simply meant this: to confine, assault, to beset, or to distress. Amen. In other words, to just be a thorn in their lives, to bring havoc to the life they're trying to live. Listen, the people of Samaria ain't trying to start a fight. The people of Samaria not trying to stir conflict, but there's just something about the bully. He always wants to bully, right? There's something about some people, they always want to stir the pot. They always want to be the one that leads the conflict. And Ben-Hadad and those in Syria, they seem to be just masters of conflict, masters of confusion. And could we agree tonight that we live in an hour? You said, what's this got to do with us tonight, preacher? I believe there's ever been a group of people that lived under the besiege of the enemy that is purposed in their in hell to do everything it can to cut off the food line and to cut off the supply line from the people of God to the throne of God. We live in that hour right now. You said, I don't understand that tonight, Brother Bubba. When had it ever been that it's so hard to press in a prayer meeting that everybody's silent for 30 or 40 minutes at the time, and sooner or later we'll find begin to trickle into a blessing or trickle into some deliverance? What is that? It's constant conflict. Most of the time we have to pray through days of personal struggles, not sin, struggle. Amen. To finally get the freedom to pray, to finally get the freedom to seek. How many times is it that we go through revivals? You ever see it in revivals where we push and we fight and we dig and we claw, and right before revival's dismissed, we begin to get some breakthroughs? What is that? Fighting against that enemy that's besieged us to try to make it feel like we're never going to have a revival and we're never going to have a breakthrough. But listen, when they done this, they cut off the supply line to Samaria from the rest of the world, to where now there's no food, no substance. Everything that they needed was in somebody else's hands, and the supply has cut off. The path has been cut off. And so I begin to dwell on this thing, and when you read in chapter 6, it lets us know when this began to happen. Amen. When you cut off your supply line, there ain't but one thing that can happen. That's a famine. Amen. When you stop a church from being able to get in contact with God, they were one thing that can happen, and that's a famine. When you get a young generation of young people, I'm telling you, my brother preached the youth service this morning, but he talked to this 44-year-old preacher while he was doing it. You hear me? Amen. But when you get a young generation that wants to get in touch with God, but on every outlet of their life, they're being pushed with all of manner of ideas, all manner of different things that we're going through. Listen, me and my family around Christmas, for years we've went to the mountains for Christmas. We got up there this year. My parents went with us on vacation. We're in that Tanger outlet. Oh, they just better just a few stores there worth going in to me. My wife, there's dozens there worth going into her. Amen. And my children, they've got one store they just, you know, they really don't care about any but one, two. They like to go in that Disney store and look around. They like to look at all them toys and all that different stuff that they got in there. We were going and they wanted to go in there. And so my parents were going to go with them into this Disney store. I stepped around the corner for a few minutes, and then when I went back in, they were over there. And my parents was letting them pick something out they wanted. That's a pretty good plan. Go in there with them, and they pick one thing out, they're going to pay for it. That's a pretty good plan. Good group to send them in there with. Amen. But I got in there, Brother Austin, and a lot to do with what I'm trying to preach to us tonight to get this point across. I walked up, my youngest daughter standing there. This is an 8-year-old little girl. Amen. They're standing there looking through all the stuff, and you know, they like this and they like that, and she sees a little jacket there maybe that she liked, and they already know what I'm about to tell, because I've been telling it in a lot of places. I want the church to know we're under attack. I want the world to know that. I don't only want the church to know. I'd like to let the world know. I know what you're doing. I know the army that I'm fighting against tonight. I'm not ignorant concerning the devices of the devil. Amen. But I'll walk in and walk over there. I didn't care if they got a toy. I didn't care if they got a Mickey Mouse hat, shoes, and socks. It didn't make me no difference. But what I did have a problem with is when I walked up to my little girl and her looking at a jacket that in her innocent mind didn't recognize it. But the moment I walked up, it hit me instantly when I walked up. Little Mickey Mouse heads all over that jacket. Rainbow color. Well, that triggered me already. Hey, man, I caught it before I'd even had to go anywhere. When I saw the rainbow head, I already know a lot of their agenda. I understand that part. All right? So it didn't fool me when I walked up. It got my little girl, but it didn't get her daddy. Hey, man, and I walked up and seen you. And then I believe when we moved that jacket around or whatever, somewhere either wrote on the sleeve or wrote across the back of it. On it, listen now, it wasn't in the Bass Pro Shop. It wasn't in Tool World. It was in a store that my little girl was wanting to shop in. And had pride wrote across that jacket. Well, let them know it wasn't going to be going with us. Amen. And you know, we ain't going to buy no such garbage as that. And I know that's just country backwood talk. But they wouldn't. I wouldn't allow that to go back to my. What I'm trying to say is, hell's trying to cut off the supply line. Hell's trying to cut off a route. Hey, he knows I'm going to believe in God. But he's trying to cut my little girl off from ever knowing what it's like to have a relationship with God. Amen. But by the time they recognize they needed food, they're hungry. What I'm trying to say tonight, don't wait till they're out there and we don't know where they're at. Don't wait till they're out there and we don't know if they're coming back home again. Let's pick up on what the enemy's doing ahead of time. Let's pick up on what the world's trying to do ahead of time. But I want you to notice what happens when we get to this place. It said, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. Now, I'm no scholar and I don't have all the resources some do. But in one place I read one time, I must be equivalent to our day. That was somewhere close to $544 or something. I may have read in the wrong place, but that's what I found. But what I'm saying is, man, that's a high price for low living, ain't it? That's for giving a mighty big penny for something that was considered unclean for them to even partake. Could you say that looks a lot like our world today? We paid a high price for nothing in return. Amen. We live, Brother Austin preached about it a little bit this morning, so great. Our modern church world has invested in so much with so little return in our lives. I'm going to be careful too, brother, but I'm sometimes not as quite as cautious as others. Some folks would be more comfortable in this generation if we'd turn all them lights off. Me don't got a clue here nor there who I'm even talking to up here. I'm apt, if I go to a place like that, ask them, if you wouldn't mind turning the lights on. I can't see who the people are. I don't like it. I'm not coming condemning. I just don't like it. Amen. If I'm talking to you, I don't like us to go outside and where there's no lights and talk. I want to talk where I can see you. But that's what our modern world's done. Why? It's a high price when you've been besieged. We're trying to survive on that won't suffice us. Our modern church world's trying to survive on that won't suffice us. They hadn't shut the door. They've just welcomed more into the door. Amen. And this is what it begins to say. And the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. What one time would have had the dove? You know what he represents. That dove representing the Holy Ghost. But listen, you know what they're doing? They're paying now. They're paying money for where he has been. They're paying money of stories of what he used to be. Thank God. I'd rather have the dove than the dung, hadn't you? Thank God for what he done for Mama. Thank God for what he done for Papa. But that's where he has been. I'm more interested in where he is, not where he has been. And if I'm going to invest in it, I want to invest on that that's genuine. But they're paying big money to suffice on where he had been. You can agree or not to not. But I believe one of the greatest things that's plagued our modern Pentecostal holiness church, we've got so caught up on shouting on what he used to do. Thank God that we don't got nothing fresh over to shout over what he still is. Amen. He still fly. Amen. He'll still sit upon you and I. Peter said, it's for as many as the Lord our God shall call. He didn't die in the 70s. He didn't run down the road when our grandparents left. Thank God he's still available tonight, unless you've been besieged by the enemy. Under attack, besieged. And so here they are.
time to come down. Those inside the room, inside the walls of that city, have accepted the fact it's over. Lock the gates, shut the doors. We'll live on what's left. We'll even let up and eat on that we shouldn't, as long as it lasts, and then it is what it is. We've got preachers. Be careful, but not too careful. That at one time, and I don't believe in lacing people up. I don't believe in busting hide. I don't even like those statements. I do like to preach the truth. Amen. And preachers that used to would have stood side by side with some of you and I and walked right down the page of this Bible and let those in the building know, if you don't live by this book, there is no path to heaven. There is no relation with Jesus Christ. But now the crowd gets smaller, and now the offerings are getting smaller, and now the salary doesn't look like it'll suffice the lifestyle that we've chose to live. So what do? We dim the lights. We change the color of the light. We change the beat of the music, and we change what we used to stand for. That now what we used to would have allowed to only be in this part of the building, we've now welcomed to this part of the building. I can tell you there's a high price to low living. But the sad part about it is that mom and dad is the one that made that decision. But inside that city's little boys and little girls that are starving to death because they want to eat the dove, but all they've got access to is the dumb. I say we make up our mind in this hour. Syria, there's one thing you've got to know. We know who's blocked the flow. We know who's blocked the fountain. And if it costs us our lives, we'll fight. Amen. How many of you tonight, if somebody breaks into your home tonight or the place where you're staying and says, we'll be taking your children home with us tonight, what do you say? Over my dead body. And mean every word of it. I don't have to wonder, Brother Austin, if somebody tried to get them three little girls and that wife of mine and that little boy. If they leave with them, that lets me know then, and everybody around, you'll know the corner's over here at Hampton Inn, because there's a dead preacher in the motel room. You say, well, that sounds crude. It's the truth. I love them just that much. And if somebody wanted to physically harm them, I'd give my life in an instant to try to protect them. Amen. How much more then is it then important that when I see the enemy lurking and I see the enemy out there doing things that I know is trying to deceive my children and trying to listen, you think it's not important? That oldest daughter of mine is in the sixth grade. Amen. And it hadn't been just a little bit back that she had a classmate that was talking about like in the same-sex relationship in the seventh grade. And my little girl let her know, no, I don't agree with that. That made me a proud daddy, amen. Hey, I like straight A's. I like making it to the dean's list. But it made me a proud preaching daddy when that 12-year-old daughter of mine let the world know I'm not interested in supporting that kind of lifestyle. We don't believe in living like that. Oh, it wasn't pride, but it was pride in a sense too now. I was proud of that daughter of mine. Yeah. She hears me hammered enough. She knows I better stand against this. But listen, it used to be that we'd have said, hey, we don't stand for that. You can come and sit on these pews and I'll preach you Jesus. That's as far as we're going with it. Anything else, we'll ask you to leave. Now, well, it's just a song. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Y'all know I'm telling us the truth. Amen. It's just Sunday school. I know it in a little while it'd just be revival. Amen. It's just, it's just an office. They don't preach but three times a week. Listen, that's where it goes. When you give a little, you've gave a lot. Amen. Some people wait to the end, but when you give a little, you've already given a lot. But I believe we need to make up our mind. Amen. You know who it was that finally had to make up their mind? I'm not interested in this story going any further. There were four leprous men. sitting outside the city. You know what it was? With the way they lived and how they, the conditions of their lives, the world didn't want them, and neither did the people that they were acquainted with. That sounds like our kind, right? That world don't want me. A lot of this modern church world don't want us. That don't change the fact that when it comes right down to when the rubber meets the road, somebody's got to go get the answer. Somebody's got to go find the food. Somebody's got to go find some substance. Because you know what? I believe some of those men on the island, they sit there and they begin to ponder, why are we going to sit here till we die? You know, if we don't do anything, we're going to die. Do you agree with me tonight that in the hour that we live, if we don't have a revival, we're going to die? If we don't have a move of God, we're going to die. Thank God. Hey, I want a revival for my own wall. But I believe one of those men may have looked at one of the others, pastor, and said, I got a grandboy in that city. If we don't go have revival, my grandson's going to die in a famine. My granddaughter's going to die in this famine. My children briefly met my grandparents. Greatest people I ever knew. But my little boy only knows my pawpaw by pictures. What pawpaw experience is no good to him. I'm not throwing off on my granddaddy's experience. There'd never been a greater man ever put on a pair of shoes than me. He gave his whole life. He took an early retirement from a great career to just talk about this man that we're longing to know. Hey, man, greatest man I ever knew. But he never impacted my little boy. Because my little boy didn't get here soon enough. He made the crossing. Amen. Why in the world would I expect him to live off Pawpaw's blessing? Amen. Me set outside the city and tell them, children, it's okay. It hadn't always been this hard. Come on now. It ain't always been this difficult. Amen. Just know it's just the hour we're living in. It's just the time. Hey, people don't want to live like this anymore. Why don't they hear me this? Why don't they just look over the wall from time to time and hear Daddy saying, God, we can't afford to die this way. We can't afford to give in this way. Instead of always telling them, well, baby, you know, sometimes you accept the fact you're going to have to be the only little girl that lives for God. Why do I have to make them live in such a prison life? Why can't they hear me talking to God saying, God, I don't want them to die this way. I don't want them to grow up thinking nobody else lives for God. That's why this meeting's good for my children. It's been good for them to know we ain't the only ones that live for God. Amen. But one of those men, you know what didn't say? He went and they went with him. Somewhere there was a unity among those men that when we find out about them, they went. They didn't give us no names. It didn't matter. Amen. Didn't give us whose family they came out of. You know, you don't get many church services where you got the Joneses and the Smiths. Hey, this was a pretty decent meeting, hey. Hey, that's the way society looks at it, right? Who's the preacher? What group did he come out of? What fellowship's he a part of? Who's he preach for? What kind of churches does he evangelize? He's a preacher. Told my wife the other day, was talking to my wife, a local pastor, and said, I thought of something along the lines, thought about asking him to come preach. I didn't know if he preached outside of the movement or something like that, till I got on Facebook, find out he was preaching for somebody else. I didn't know I had to live under any stipulation. Thank God, I'll preach anywhere. You hear me? Now I'm going to preach like this when I do. I'll preach to the liberals, the conservatives. It don't matter. Hey, I didn't get in this for a reputation. I got in this, it cost me my reputation. I don't ask them to read their bylaws before I say if I'll preach for them or not. As long as I can take that book with me. When I go, I'll preach to them. But he was just like, he was amazed. Oh, he preaches for other organizations. Yeah, he does. He's one of them kind. He might not believe like other organizations, but he will preach for them. What I'm trying to say is, they were isolated. There were visions of how it had used to be. Isn't that what one writer said? But we hung our harps on the willow tree. In other words, in my own way this tonight, in my imagination, they said it broke our hearts to think of how great it used to be when it used to be. And then they're asked the question in another part of Scripture, how many of you were here that saw this house in, their, in other words, in its glory days? When we, oh, when I was a boy, we had church till 3 o'clock in the morning. Shame on us that we don't. Amen? You know why? Man, I got to get up at 6 o'clock and go home and watch the news till about 12:30 or 1. I don't want to meddle. I'm trying to make a point. But finally, Brother Austin, those men decided there is a great risk of doing what we feel we need to do. But it's a risk worth taking for the reward that we just might obtain. It's a risk worth taking to know that inside that wall is a little boy that might come to know God. That you preached about this morning so wonderfully. There are those that don't know Him that may come to know Him. There are those that are without Him that may come to know Him. Amen. There's a little boy somewhere and a little girl that might could find a way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank God. I love to read about Azusa Street. I love to read about Wales. I love to read about the Welsh revival. But thank God, I'd like to read about a modern day revival. Amen. That wouldn't built on a system and wouldn't built on a name and wouldn't built on an organization, but just built flat down to the road on a desire to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Amen. And that's the only way we'll ever know it. That's the only way we'll ever have it. We'll have a series of services. Every now and one to trickle in and get saved. Every now and one to trickle in and get baptized. But the only real revival we'll ever have is when we in our hearts, hey, I'd like for them to have the sign out there. That way they know which driveway to turn in. Amen. I'm not throwing off on that driveway, but I'm preaching on this one. So I want them to come on this driveway. You know, I don't know these people across the way. If I was preaching over there, I wouldn't want them to come here tonight. But listen, when in our hearts, we could take that veil and hang over Abundant Life and hang over Landmark Tabernacle, hang over my little church back in Douglas. And the heart be, I don't care, God, where it happens, just as long as it happens. And those men begin to walk. I don't know if one went first and the others followed. If two got together, three went, and that last one's trying to figure out, man, I won't ever get to preach for that group again if I do this. Amen. I won't. Listen, that's a risk you take in ministry. When you get called to preach and you think, man, I know who don't like them. I know who don't fellowship with that group of people. You know, I usually just take the revival and just, well, if they don't call me back, they don't call me back. That's just kind of how I am. I go to where they're asking for preaching. That's the only one, you know. If they're critiquing me, they don't want to hear my preaching anyway. Amen. But finally, I wonder if in my imagination that those men begin to walk. You know what they're thinking? This is all we've got left. Amen. Isn't it a wonderful thing when the church finally throws all their eggs in one basket and that one basket's preached the cross? Amen. Preach Him crucified, risen again. I don't know a greater message in Jesus Christ. But when we go back to that being our mainstay, that they're walking along thinking, boys, do we realize what we've just done? The church world's wondering, where are you going? And the secular world's wondering, what are you doing? Amen. But in our hearts, we're just knowing, I'm looking for something and only He can provide. I'm searching for something that only He can provide. I've heard those talking around home. I know years ago, my granddaddy fasted a long, long fast, somewhere between 30 and 40 days that he went without eating. You've known of people that have done that. We've been blessed, and that's why a lot of us are here tonight, because of men in yesteryear that made such a decision. Elijah. But listen, we're talking about those things, and we recognize there's a great requirement for the revival we're looking for. It isn't just to start the service and it's going to break out. There's going to be a price to pay for this. And the price is going to be, it's going to cost me. Amen. Revival in my church is going to cost me. I'm getting ready to close, I think. So if somebody wants to come, play however you want to do. Now, I didn't say I'm quitting. I think I'm getting ready to quit. But I wonder, as those men begin to walk, if one could have possibly looked back at another and said, are you coming or not? We're going somewhere. You're going to wish you had. I said, you're going to wish you had. I'd like to invite some folks tonight to that conversation. We're going somewhere. I said, we're going somewhere. I want to declare tonight, revival is not out of reach. Revival is not something that's just something of the past. I believe there's a revival that can be had in this hour. I believe there's lost children can be saved in this hour. I believe there's backslid preachers that can come home in this hour. But it's going to cost us something. And I want to ask the question tonight, are you coming or not? Preachers, are we going? Are not. These little children get to playing. They get all their arm full of toys and they look back at the straggler. And in their own way of talking, are you coming or not? We're going to the playground, man. We're going to the sandbox. We're fixing to ruin our clothes tonight. Are you coming or not? We'll probably get a whipping in a little while, but it's worth it. Thank God. We're going to go through some trials down the road, but thank God it'll be worth it. If our children come to know God, if the Holy Ghost fills their soul, it'll be worth it. I got some whippings growing up. Be honest with you, what I enjoyed and what I got in return is worth it. I had fun over that whipping. I'm talking about as a boy now. I ain't talking about going out there running the roads and singing. He rescued me at 23 from that. But as a boy, man, watched 3 or 4 or 5 good stripes with the belt over rolling out there in the grass with my buddies. It was worth it. And could I tell you tonight, what's a risk that when we begin to seek him, when he said, you'll find me when you seek me with your whole heart. What'll it cost you to spend a little more time talking to him for what we get in return? Who cares? I like to talk real Southern. Who cares if they call ahead of my revival and said, you do know who he preaches for? Who cares? If I can get in that pulpit with all of them wondering, is he the one that they're talking about that done that, preached it for those? Yeah, I am. But to be able to give an altar call and see a broken-hearted 23-year-old man come walking down that altar and find God and get called into the mess. Somebody took a risk on me. I said somebody took a risk on this boy. Amen. I say it's worth the risk to look for revival. And when they did, let's stand tonight. Thank you for helping me tonight, see. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria. Behold, there was no man there. Preacher, there's going to be adversity when we begin to fast and pray. Sometimes it ain't near as much as we've planning on. Because when the closer I get to him, that David said, you come to me with a sword and a sling. With a sword and a sling. All I've got's the name of the Lord. You begin to recognize how little of myself I really need to experience revival. That all I need is him. You hear me? You told me in your fasting and praying. I'm not glorifying my heat. I'm just telling you, it blessed my heart today. We was just fellowshipping at lunch. That he gave me a layout of things that he had been seeking God about and finally began to cross. It's just to know him better. That touched my heart today when my brother told me, hey, I don't mind bragging on my brother. It blessed me to hear that. You know what he was saying? Whatever it costs me for you to go with me. You hear me? Whatever it costs you, mama, he'll go with you. Whatever it costs you, daddy, granddaddy, he's going with us. Amen. And that big band of military, that power, they besieged them. They cut off the food supply. And what they thought they'd do, they'll starve them out. How many have tried to starve the gospel message out through the years only to find it's bigger than they are? Amen. I'm going to ask us to pray. Listen, I've never been one of them. It was good at people trying to trip over each other, running down the aisle shouting. But that's okay. I'd rather you leave here tonight with the determination, I'm going with them when they go. Amen. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. No, sir. Just four outcasts that nobody wanted any fellowship with. They trusted God. I grew up on the old song, little is much when God is in it. Have I been intimidated in my ministry sometimes to stand up to see these men that I know preaching bigger churches than mine? Go more places than I've been. But listen, I can't fight but what I've been given. But when David stepped out on that battlefield, his sword wasn't from the best sword maker. His suit wasn't from the most expensive suit maker. He's just a common man that had known the anointing, that trusted, I don't do this like other men have done it. That's what I love about ministry. He don't preach like I preach, and I don't preach like he preaches. But we preach under the same anointing from the same anointer. Amen. Therefore, we will win the victory. I want to ask you tonight, from the young to the old, men, women, boys and girls, preachers, laity, matters not to me tonight. Are you going or not? Are you interested in a revival? Are you interested in a breakthrough in your church? I'm not going back to church. Are you interested in revival? Is it worth the risk to have revival in your church? If so, would you meet me in this altar tonight? Let's declare to the Lord, it's worth whatever it costs me to have a revival in my life. Everybody that can and will, would you pray with us tonight? Are you going with us or not? Amen. Would you pray?